Well, please keep that passage open and get out that buff coloured outline that will help you as you work your way through. And indeed, taking some notes would be useful as well. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that your mercies are new every day. We thank you that in your mercy you haven't left us in the dark about who you are or how you would have us to live. Teach us this morning, we pray. Correct, rebuke, and encourage us so that we will respond appropriately and your name be glorified. Amen. What would it take for all the people of the world to know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and for everyone to have faith in the Lord God? What would it take for the skeptics in the world to believe that God is powerful and for them to place their faith and trust in the Lord God? What would it take for the citizens of Muslim countries to know that the Christian God is powerful and for them to place their trust not in Muhammad, but the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? What would it take for the materialists in Sydney, Australia, to know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and to place their faith in the Lord God? What would it take? Well, turn with me to the fourth chapter of the book of Joshua, reading verses 19 to 24. Someone might call out a page number if you don't have it open already. 210, thank you. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until he crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" What we have recorded for us in the third and fourth chapters of Joshua is an incredible act, what literally is called a wonder. So chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." More literally it reads, "The Lord will do wonders among you." And his purpose for doing so? Chapter 4, verse 24, "that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." So here we have a miracle, a wonder, an amazing thing which happened many years ago, performed by the Lord of all the earth, with the purpose of impacting upon all the peoples of the earth, not just on Israel, and not just on that generation. It was intended to be told to generations to come. Well, let's take a look at this wonder, which is expected to have this effect. If we remember last week, the spies had reported back that the whole land of Canaan was in fear of them. And then we read in chapter 3, verse 1, "Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. Then after 3 days, the word goes through the camp like this," from verse 2. "After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it." From verse 6, the moment has finally arrived. Joshua says to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and move on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went on ahead. In verse 8, he tells the priests, "When you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, wade into the river and stand there." In verse 13, Joshua tells the priests what is going to happen. "As soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord set foot in the Jordan, its water flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Now, this is going to be some event, is it not? Ever seen water just stop and stand up in a heap? It's up there with the crossing of the Red Sea after the escape from Egypt. We know what Cecil B. DeMille did with that episode, or at least those that are my age and older do. But imagine what Steven Spielberg could do with this one. Now, in verses 14 to 16, the NIV has changed the order and mucked up the dramatic effect. But this is how the scene should progress. First scene, the people break camp. The priests move out ahead of them, carrying the ark. Next scene, the priests who carry the ark reach the Jordan, and their big toes touch the edge of the water. Then, editorial comment, the Jordan is in flood, all during harvest. And then the crossing. See, this is not just some little stream they're crossing. It is a raging torrent. The riverbed drops to the Dead Sea some 1,000 feet below. Now, what sort of stupidity have the people been going on with? It's up there with Noah building his boat, as Bible stories go, is it not? Just think about it for a moment. Here are thousands of men, women, children and livestock, and all their provisions, marching towards a raging, flooded river. And once more, they're expecting to cross over. What's going to happen? How are they going to do it? Well, if it was a Spielberg movie, perhaps some great hydrofoil would come zooming by. But there was no hydrofoil, no boat of any description, not even a manly ferry, and that wouldn't help them much. No bridge, just a couple of old priests carrying the ark. And what happens? As soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing and piles up in a heap a great distance away. Now this, friends, is no small miracle. It is no small wonder. In fact, none of God's wonders are. The priests stop there in the middle of the river as all of the peoples cross. And verse 13 tells us that about 40,000 armed for battle crossed over to the plains of Jericho for war. And add to that the women and children. And after everyone crossed, verse 17, Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And the priests came up out of the river carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran in flood as before. What the Bible says happened is truly an extraordinary event, unlike anything that is happening today. But for all its impressiveness, how is this event to have the result that all the peoples of the earth know that the hand of the Lord is powerful? That people of today, from every race and creed, might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. Well, the answer is to be found in why the wonder. As we have been seeing, the whole book is about the promise of God, the promise that can be traced back to the promise to Abraham, the promise to give him a land, but not only that, a promise that all the peoples of the earth might be blessed through him. That blessing, we know, has happened and is continuing to happen because of what Jesus did. Getting into the land is just a part of fulfilling that promise. Now, there is something in the story which would have driven that home to the Israelites. What is it? What is it in the story that drives that home about the promise of God? Something that's mentioned quite a lot. The Ark of the Covenant, yes. Thank you, Fiona. It is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, when you think of the Ark, what comes to mind? Well, for me, it's Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford movies. But what was this Ark and what was its purpose? It plays a big part in the story. When the Ark moved, the people were to move. The people were to keep their distance so that it could be seen. When the ark came into the Jordan, the miracle happened. When it stayed in the river, the miracle continued. And as it was taken up, the miracle concluded. Why the ark? What is it about this ark? What does the ark do? Who can tell me? Yes, it symbolizes, represents the presence of God. So very true. But it's even more than that. See, if it was just that, it's just like some magic lamp that they're taking, some lucky charm. But no, what is it called? Well, as Fiona told us, it is the Ark of the Covenant. It's described that way in chapter 3, verse 2, and verse 6, and verse 8, and verse 11 as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth. And then 3:14, Ark of the Covenant. But literally it reads, the Ark, the Covenant. The Ark is the Covenant. Now, when you think of covenant, what that word means in essence is commitment. God's covenant is God's commitment. In other words, the ark reminds them of the promise of God. The promise made to Abraham and reiterated to Joshua in chapter 1. And so I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 17. Instead of the word covenant, I'm going to put in the word commitment. So follow it with me. 3:17. The priests who carried the ark of the commitment of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Well, how did the ark represent the commitment of God to his people? How did it do it? What was inside it? 10 Commandments, exactly, thank you. Inside were the 10 Commandments, words which speak of God's commitment. See, the commandments aren't just do this, do that. How do they start? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of slavery. I'm your God, I'm committed to you. So the ark signified that it was because of the promise of God that they were going to get into the land. It was by the promise of God that they were to cross the Jordan. It was by the promise of God that the waters stopped miraculously. It was by God's promise that they were kept stopped while they crossed, and by God's promise that the waters returned. Why the wonder, you might say? Not to make us say wow at the miracle itself, but to make us say wow about the God who performed the miracle. To make us know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and to make us fear him in response. You see, this miracle says that God can and does and will keep his promises. And so if he kept his promise then, he most surely will in the future. For the Israelites, it showed them that he would keep his promise to drive out the peoples from the land. So reading chapter 3, verses 9 to 11. Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites, and any other ites that you may name. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. God is indeed among them to do as he has promised." Now, how many wonders do you need to convince you that God can and do as he has promised? How many should we need? None, exactly. Ideally, we shouldn't need any. But God in his kindness has performed wonders so that the people of God may know, so that all peoples might know that the living God is among them to bring about what he has promised. And here is one of those wonders. And so as we hear of it, it should encourage us to believe that God is indeed bringing about his purposes. It should renew our faith in his promise to us. The promise of the gospel. That if we or others believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will be saved. And that if people reject him, that judgment will follow. Remember the two sides to the promise of God last week? His judgment and his mercy. Now, if you have some doubts about God's commitment to you, reflect on what he did that day. Reflect also on what he did many years later to fulfill his promise in the sending of Jesus. Perhaps for you, that is not enough. You would like to see another wonder. Well, remember the words of Jesus. "It is an evil and adulterous generation that seeks for a sign." You see, the wonders in the Bible are not there in order for us to have them repeated, but they are there in order to be retold. If such an event as this happened once a week, then it would cease to be a wonder, wouldn't it? John Watson gets up the front and says, we're going to have a men in boats day. We're going out to the Hawkesbury River. We're going to see the water stop flowing and pile up in a heap. You go, well, I don't want to go. We've seen it hundreds of times before. No, we are to remember what God has done in the past and tell this to others. And we can see this as we look at the two sets of memorial stones that were set up. So chapter 4 from verse 8. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan, at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. And chapter 4 from verse 19. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us under we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. You see, this miracle is to have an effect not just on those who saw it, but on those who continue to hear it. In days to come, a father and son are walking through Gilgal National Park and come across a monument. And the son says, what do these stones mean, Dad? And the father will tell him of the great event that occurred when the waters of the raging Jordan were stopped and the people crossed on dry ground. And the father will say, this happened so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that we should fear him forever. For generations to come, this miracle is to have an impact. God could do wonders for each generation, but we shouldn't expect them, and he doesn't usually do that. But all the people of the earth are to know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, not by the miracle being repeated, but by it being retold. And as we this morning hear of the faithfulness of God to his promise, we should rejoice in that. We too, of course, can look back not just on this miracle of crossing the Jordan, but on other wonders that quite frankly leave this one for dead. We know of the miracles of Jesus and of the great miracle of God raising Jesus to life again. And again, as we hear of what God has done here, how should we respond? Well, turn with me to the New Testament and to John's Gospel and chapter 20. If you could, someone call out a page number. John 20 from verse 29. 1074. Thank you, Fiona. So John 20, the occasion is after the resurrection and Jesus had appeared to the disciples and to Thomas. And in verse 29, Jesus says, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Then in verse 30, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. As we read and hear of these wonders, the only proper response is to believe. And by so doing, we have the great promise of life in his name. Indeed, here is the outworking of that great promise first given to Abraham. So what would need to happen for all the people of the world to know that the hand of the Lord is mighty and to always fear the Lord God? What would need to happen to make you fear? What would need to happen to make you truly believe in the God who has made and keeps his promises? As we look back, we can remember the faithfulness of God to his promise in getting his people across the Jordan. We can remember the faithfulness of God to his promises in sending the Lord Jesus to die and in raising him to life again. But also from where we stand, we can look forward to another promise that God has made. A promise that Jesus will return and that he will judge. And he has given proof of this by raising Jesus from the dead. Friends, the God who stopped the Jordan flowing is our God. The God who raised Jesus from the dead is our God. The God who will send Jesus back to judge is our God. So do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen.